Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
COVID case numbers are hitting a near 16-month high in New South Wales and Australia, despite the lockdown of 5 million people in Sydney entering its sixth week now. Meanwhile, New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says that next week she will set out how they plan to open the country's borders, despite growing criticism over the pace of the vaccine rollout there. So I'm joined now by Dr. David Murdoch, infectious disease expert and member of the Technical Advisory Panel for COVID-19, which advises the New Zealand Ministry of Health. And in Sydney for ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, I'm joined by journalist Lara Hyams. Good evening to both of you. David, to you first. What's the latest in the terms of case numbers in New Zealand?
Well, good morning, Philip. New Zealand, we have a total number at the moment of under 3,000 cases, and that's for the whole pandemic, with 26 deaths. So our numbers remain low.
And I see in the newspapers that the identification of a single incoming case, one single case, was so newsworthy that it was front page news in the last 24, 48 hours there. So the numbers really still are very, very low.
That's right. I mean, we still have the same policy of basically identifying every case and an elimination strategy. So that's been maintained the whole pandemic. That continues to be maintained. So yes, you're right. It's every case, every new case gets notified and is reported every day.
How is it then, having gotten that aspect of it so right, that the vaccination program is subject to so much perhaps justifiable criticism?
Yes, and you know, the situation we have is at the moment about two million of our 5 million population have received at least one vaccine, and about just under 800,000, I think, is at the moment have received both doses. And we were in a situation perhaps a bit more fortunate than most countries in that we did not need to have any emergency approval of vaccines. It went through our normal process. And so actually, even though we are relatively behind in terms of the numbers and proportion of the country vaccinated compared to many countries, it's actually still on the government's target. So in fact, it's sort of debate. I think the New Zealand public's expectations have gone up throughout the pandemic, and the expectation that it comes out that the vaccination program would proceed much more quickly, but it is actually fulfilling the government's targets at the moment.
But they are doing so with less tools at their disposal because you're only using the Pfizer vaccine. Is that the case?
That's right. I mean, our strategy at the start was to have a portfolio of several vaccines, and in fact three have received a regulatory approval in the country, as well as Pfizer. We've had the Janssen vaccine and AstraZeneca more recently have been approved. But we have enough supply for the Pfizer vaccine alone. And so that strategy has shifted to actually having just the one vaccine. So, in fact, it's not that we don't have the tools. In fact, we're in the fortunate situation of being able to have a much more simple program of just using one vaccine.
I suppose I'm surmising here, but just looking at it from the outside, it would seem that because you were in so much a healthier place than the rest of the world with the case numbers, that you were perhaps a little bit more relaxed about the targets that you were setting yourself for a vaccination program. Would that be fair?
I think that's correct at the start, Philip, because we did not need to get any emergency legislation to get the vaccines quickly through. We had minimal to no community transmission, so we just basically made our existing system of approvals a bit more efficient. And so I guess for a start, in terms of the start of the program, it was probably a bit more relaxed. And you know, clearly there's a balance between the supply of the vaccine and the ability to deliver. So I think that's also something on the government's mind in terms of the supply chain for the vaccine, just being able to keep up with that.
Look, I know you're a public health expert and don't necessarily know what the mood of the people is, but you know, what is your sense of where New Zealand is at in its own head at the moment, given that you're living with very, very few restrictions, but is there an impatience to reopen to the world?
There definitely is. I think what we've seen is greater support through the pandemic of the approach we've had, but of course increasing frustration about limitations on incoming tourists, on the ability to travel. And of course we've had more recently this opening up of what we call the Trans-Tasman bubble with Australia, where we could have quarantine-free travel. But of course the recent activities and case numbers in Australia have, of course, put a stop to that. So I guess a reminder to everybody of what might happen here. And so in a way that bounces around a bit, there's clearly the public opinion is, yes, we're really keen to be able to open up, but then the caution of what's happened in Australia. And then on the back of that, as we've talked about already, a bit of a frustration that the vaccination program is not proceeding as quickly as perhaps most would like.
Well, that's a perfect cue to go over the water to Lara Hyams in Sydney. What are the numbers there now, Lara?
Good morning, Philip. Well, overnight in New South Wales, we're currently hovering around the 250 or so mark of cases per day. Yesterday, or today's figure that were announced, currently has New South Wales at 262 cases. Some of the breakdowns that are provided with that figure is that 96 of those cases are household contacts to existing COVID sources. But the other thing that is really concerning that this New South Wales government has been really examining is the number of cases that were infectious in the community at the time that they were in that incubation period for COVID. At the moment, that stands at 43. So, of course, that has been a bit of a litmus test for the New South Wales state government to try to identify how that variant, the Delta variant, is actually spreading. Now, at the moment in New South Wales, we're currently just sitting under 10,000 cases of COVID since the pandemic. And with that, we're actually leading, unfortunately, the tally across Australia as to the number of COVID cases for this outbreak. Sadly, what has really set us back is 21 deaths in relation to this Delta variant.
And how are the hospitals coping?
Well, at the moment, we have a number of people that are in intensive care. There are 51 people currently, and 24 of them are on ventilators. It has been a concern because, obviously, our hospitals have been tied up with COVID patients. There have been several protocols that have been implemented to ensure that anyone who enters a hospital for any reason is to be segregated so that there is no contact. But we've been hearing reports, anecdotes of staffing levels which have been severely impacted after some of the staff, the nurses, in fact, or health staff, had contracted COVID. And of course, that has sent particular wards into lockdown. So there's a lot of people under pressure, particularly from the health sector.
How strict a lockdown are you living under in Sydney?
Well, at the moment, it's probably argued that we're one of the strictest states at the moment that has this lockdown in place. We're currently in week 6 of lockdown. We've got another 4 weeks to go for this particular period, but we haven't been making those milestones for the lockdown to ease. Initially, our lockdown started at 4 weeks, and because our numbers weren't improving, that kept getting extended. Now, our lockdown wasn't a quick lockdown where everything was put in place, doors were shut to various businesses, shopping centres, etc. We were in New South Wales very slow off the mark to do that. We were going through incrementally of how our lockdowns would operate. So that would mean that we'd just have reduced capacities at a gym instead of closing the gym. Or we might have particular retail sectors or shops open. Others were just at a reduced capacity or a reduced trading hours. So we're very slow off the mark. It seems that may have been a bad decision now. There's figures have definitely caught up with us.
You have, not particularly much more than anywhere else, but we do have this impression of you guys having yo-yoed in and out of lockdowns throughout the course of the last year and a half. Where's the national mood at, and what has that done to compliance, do you think?
You're definitely right on that. Every state has had their different approach to it. there hasn't been a national framework in terms of what's going forward with lockdowns. We see Victoria at the moment, which is another state just south of us, they are currently in their sixth lockdown. They have been reacting to some of their figures. They've got a case, well, they've got 80 cases at the moment compared to what we had in New South Wales at 262. They've gone into what they call a snap lockdown. That was announced today. By midnight tonight, everything's shut. It's a different story for New South Wales. I think it's fair to say we've got a lot of lockdown fatigue, and the mood, particularly, really in Australia, is very much shifting against the federal government. They are the jurisdictions that are the ones responsible for delivering the vaccines and securing the supply of vaccines in Australia. We know that there's been a shortage. People who have wanted to get the Pfizer vaccine haven't been able to do so. We've even had the Prime Minister apologise in the last week or so for the bad decisions and the vaccine rollout that have left people bereft of choice.
Laura Himes in Sydney and Dr. David Murdoch in Auckland. Thank you both very much. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.